wasn't probably what I said to David when I agreed to share tonight. So when David kind of gave me a big list of what the possible topics were in Proverbs, it was the idea of seeking direction for the plans for our lives that I kind of wanted us to maybe unpack a little bit tonight. Now, I am not the world's best map reader, or even the best when it comes to following Google Maps, as my husband. Actually, you could ask David Gooding as well. He could also testify to this. A few years ago, I got lost in Edinburgh and telling him I knew where we were going. But picture the scene in the summer. We decided as a family we were going to go, my husband and I and our three kids, to Spain for the week. And the last couple of years when we have gone on holiday, we have avoided getting a hire car, okay? Because in the past when that's happened, it's not really been that good for our marriage or for our kids, okay? Because generally a fight will erupt between my husband and I. So we decided this year we were going to hire a car. Very bold move. I signed my husband up to be chief driver because I did not want to drive on the Spanish roads. We arrive in Spain, get off the plane, pick the car up really quickly, really easily. It did have a satellite navigation system, but at that point, Connor hadn't quite, you know, got it to speak in English to him. So we decided, yeah, we'll just use Google Maps. It'll be fine. And we leave, and we get everything packed into the car, which is a jigsaw puzzle in itself, and we headed off towards the resort that we were going to be staying in for... Wait, why am I making that noise? Okay. We headed off towards our resort. And first of all, we ended up on a service vehicle lane and not on the road that we should be on, much to our children's hilarity. They thought this was brilliant that we were in the wrong road. So already Connor and I were, you know, he was saying to me, can you not follow that map, that person who's speaking to you? And I'm saying, well, can you not hear them as well? I mean, you know. And then we got to a roundabout, and I said, you just need to go round the roundabout, not really giving very clear directions, at which point he went off the roundabout, and we were able to turn back, but there was a little bit of an argument. So I am definitely not the best person to travel with. If you want an uneventful journey for me to be. And if you want to know that you're going to get there quickly and efficiently, okay? I'll promise that there'll be a bit of laughter along the way and a wee bit of an adventure as we take a detour. But I'm really thankful that when we want to seek direction with God, it doesn't look quite so messy. He's a bit more reliable than I am, much more reliable than I am. So we're going to think tonight about what Proverbs says about how we seek direction for our lives with God's help. Thankfully, our marriage survived and we had a great holiday. Okay, and Sat and I actually got Connor lost a couple of times as well when he tried to find a supermarket. It wasn't just me. But, you know, we have learned lessons. We're going to start tonight by looking at Proverbs 3, verses 5 to 7. I don't have a PowerPoint. My daughter pointed out to me on the way down, you're not going to PowerPoint, Mum. So no, you're just going to have to use your Bibles or your phones or your iPads, whichever device you have that perhaps has the Word of God on it. But we're going to think Proverbs 3, 5 to 7 is our starting point. Can we just pray as you find those verses before we really unpack this? Father God, I thank you that you do give us a blueprint for our lives. Father, I thank you that when we put you in the driving seat of our lives, when we surrender things to you, Father, that you walk with us, that you go before us, that you make the way clear for us. And Lord, tonight as we think about what it means to seek direction from you and with you and to journey with you by our side, God, would we leave here knowing more of the next step that maybe you have for us individually tonight. Give us open hearts, open ears tonight, and let us be people who are willing to respond to you. In your name, amen. So Proverbs 3, 5 to 7 are probably some of the most well-known verses in the Bible. They say, trust in the Lord with all your heart, do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. And as our starting point tonight, I want us to think a little bit about these verses. It says, do not depend on our own understanding, but instead that we are to trust God with all that we are. I think that verse tonight speaks of how we need to live by faith. We have to be people who have surrendered first and foremost to God. We have to be people who are in relationship with him. He's not a God who's distant. He's a God who knows us better than we know ourselves. He created us. He has good plans for us individually and collectively. But if we are not in relationship with him, then we are outside of that plan and purpose that he has for us. And so right at the start tonight, I want you to think about, where are you in your relationship with God? Have you trusted him? Have you come to a point in your life or over a series of years getting to know him when you have said, yeah, I'm going to surrender everything to you. I want to make you Lord of everything that I am. And if you haven't tonight, I would encourage you that as we move through this short talk and as we then come to the communion table, do that tonight. Make this the moment where you say, yeah, I want to make you Lord of everything. It then says that we have to seek his will in all that we do. And then he will show us which path to take. We have to actively pursue God's will for our lives. And I think that means that we have to be willing to do things God's way and not our own way. We'll think about that a little bit more shortly. Being willing to do things his way and not our way. And lastly, it says, don't be impressed with your own wisdom. God has created us with minds. He has given us the ability to reason, to make decisions, to think things through for ourselves, to weigh things up. But we're not to do that on our own strength. We're not to do that because we are anyway more intelligent. And we certainly shouldn't put ourselves on the same scale or level as God. We still have to recognize that he has ultimate wisdom and ultimate authority. And there's other verses in Proverbs that we'll look at tonight when we're thinking about how we can seek God's guidance really practically, that again remind us not to be impressed with who we are and to boast about our ability to make decisions. I think, yes, God wants us to be wise in choices that we make. God wants us to use our intellect that is God-given. But he doesn't want us to get carried away with ourselves. So what's his will for us as individuals? First of all, like I've said, it's to trust him and to recognize our need for him, to receive him by faith. That's our starting point. We have to recognize that we need him in our lives. From that, we can then seek his direction. Direction comes out of being in relationship with him, I think. When I read the Bible and look at different examples of characters all through God's word, when I look at, you know, heroes of faith and people that I know in my life who are Christians and who follow and seek to live for God. Do you know the one thing that I often see, or when I hear them tell stories of their experience of who God is that God's not someone who tries to hide his will from us. He wants to lead us in his way and wants to reveal his will to us. And I love that. He's not a God who wants to keep secrets from us. We disclaimer though, we will often not know the end point when we first step into a relationship with God. In fact, often we might not know what is round the corner or just ahead of us. And that's where our faith comes in again. When we enter into a relationship with God, we're embarking on a journey with him. Connor and I celebrated 15 years of marriage this past summer, but we have been together much longer than that, 22 years, is that right? Ish. So over half my life, I have known Connor, okay? We met as teenagers, we started dating after about a year of friendship, and then we got married after dating for 7 years. And when I look back, and when we look back on our 15 years of being married, do you know, if I had known when I stood in this church on the 30th of July, 2004, sorry, my math's not very good, when I stood up in the sanctuary on this in this church, 30th of July, 15 years ago, and when we said our I do's to one another, we made those marriage promises, we did not know what was going to be ahead of us. And you know, there have been some real sharp turns and some real learning moments, and moments of when actually we could have lost our marriage, when we could have given up on one another, and we could have given up on those promises that we had made to one another. And some of that was because we had made wrong decisions, and because we had tried to do things our way and not God's way. And I think when we enter into a relationship with God, it's not quite the same, but it's a bit like when we're making those marriage promises. We don't know exactly what is going to happen at every stage of that journey. That's part of what makes it exciting and fun and an adventure. But we continue to demonstrate commitment to one another by not giving up, even when it gets tough, by being there consistently, by every day making the decision to say, I love you, I choose to love you, I choose to forget the hurt, the pain, and I'm going to keep going because that's what's most important. Because I believe that Connor has been a gift from God to me. And it's like that with our relationship with God. When we first step into a relationship with our Heavenly Father, we don't know exactly where it's going to take us. We don't know what's going to lie ahead. But we can be sure that we're stepping into a relationship with someone who knows us intimately. Someone who demonstrated his commitment to us by sending his son to die on a cross for us. Someone who's not going to turn their back on us when we make the wrong decision. Someone who's not going to give up on us when we've let him down. Someone who's going to be there consistently, whatever life throws at us. I was thinking of the story of Abraham. Many of you will know the story of Abraham. If you haven't read the story of Abraham, I'd encourage you to go back to Genesis, because actually it's quite an incredible story. And there were even some parts of it when I reread it this week that I'd actually forgotten. But one exciting, you know, promise that God made Abraham, that he was going to be father to a great nation. He and Sarah had no children, and he could not really understand how this was going to be possible in years and years past. And there didn't seem to be any fulfillment of God's promise to him. I can imagine that Abraham was getting a bit weary on this journey with God, this relationship with him, because it just wasn't turning out the way that he was expecting or hoping that it would. So what did Abraham do? He decided to take things into his own hands. And he took Hagar, his servant, and he slept with her, and they had Ishmael. And he thought that this was a solution, a way of, you know, this promise being fulfilled. But it wasn't how God had intended it to happen. Did God turn his back on Abraham? No. Yeah, there was a sense that God had to, you know, speak with Abraham. They had to work through that. It wasn't an overnight solution then given to Abraham and Sarah. There was repentance that needed to happen. But Genesis 21:6, and we've got Sarah's declaration when Isaac was born. God has brought me laughter. All who hear about this will laugh with me. I think I'm right that Abraham was 100 years old when Isaac was born. 100 years old. He was so, you know, it was just completely almost impossible by the human mind. And God fulfilled that promise. But that's not where the story of Abraham and Sarah ends, because Genesis 22 is where God tests Abraham's faith again. If it wasn't enough that there was a huge length of time between God making the promise to Abraham that you're going to be the father of a great nation, to then, you know, years later, and probably feeling like he was in a bit of a desert, a wasteland, until God actually then fulfilled that promise and Isaac was born, if that wasn't enough, there's another test. And he commanded Abraham to take Isaac to a mountain and to be willing to sacrifice him. I have three kids who I love dearly. They test my patience on a daily basis, even when they drop Nutella jars, brand new ones, out of a cupboard. All of those four. Okay? Ask Grace Bella. But you know, if God said to me, do I want you to sacrifice one of your children? Nah. Take me. Take my life instead. I'm going to take one of my kids. What does Abraham do? Abraham says, okay, I'm going to trust you, God. And Genesis 22, we get the story of them climbing the mountain. And Isaac sent his dad, but dad, where's the lamb? Where's the sacrifice? We don't have one with us. And Abraham sent his son, but God will provide, knowing what's going to happen. And Abraham builds the altar with Isaac's help, puts the wood on, and he puts his son on the altar. And he's about to kill him. When God intervenes and says in verse 12 of Genesis 22, do not hurt him in any way, for now I know that you truly fear God. You've not withheld from me even your son, your only son. Abraham had been faced with a decision, but he chose to obey God. Now, I don't think tonight that God is going to ask, I hope, he's not going to ask any of us to do anything quite so radical or quite so dramatic. But you might be here tonight and you've got some decisions to make. God might be asking you to step out in faith and you are resisting with every part of who you are because you don't want to, because it's not comfortable. And this is where we want to get a bit more practical for the last few minutes. How do we use Abraham's example so that we can live by faith in our everyday lives? How can we involve God in our decisions? Do we involve God in our decisions at this point in time? Are we people who, whenever things are really tough, when we're facing really challenging circumstances or really difficult decisions like our jobs, our university courses, what we're going to do with our lives, is it then that we seek God's help and God's guidance? Or are we seeking God's guidance in the little things as well? John Ortberg has said, start by seeking guidance for the growth of your soul. Seeking God's guidance, I think, starts with us cultivating a relationship with God. When we want to cultivate a relationship with someone, we want to please them. We don't necessarily do everything that they want us to do because it might not be the right thing all the time. But we want to get to know them. We want to know what makes them happy. So how can we cultivate our relationship with God? I think we can obey what we already know to be God's will. If you could turn to James 3, verses 13 to 18. It says this, true wisdom comes from God, is the little subheading in my Bible. If you are wise and understand God's ways, live a life of steady goodness so that only good deeds will pour forth. And if you don't brag about the good you do, then you will be truly wise. But if you're bitterly jealous and there is selfish ambition in your hearts, don't brag about being wise. This is the worst kind of lie. For jealousy and selfishness are not God's kind of wisdom. Such things are earthly, unspiritual, and motivated by the devil. For wherever there is jealousy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and every kind of evil. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure. It is also peace-loving, gentle at all times, and willing to yield to others. It is full of mercy and good deeds. It shows no partiality and is always sincere. And those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of goodness. God's given us a blueprint to live by. That doesn't mean that it's a blueprint that will give us the answer to all of our questions and all the decisions that we need to make at all times and at every moment. Those verses speak of how we are to live if we want to obey and find and pursue and seek God's will for who we are. Before we get really practical, some of you in this room might be saying, but you don't know. You don't know the mistakes I've made. You don't know the kind of person I am and the decisions that I have messed up. C.S. Lewis once said, you can't go back and change the beginning, but you can start where you are and change the ending. So I think tonight, let's be really grateful for the fact that we are in relationship with a God of second chances, of a God who doesn't give up on us, and of a God who is patiently waiting for us to come to him and say, okay, let me get realigned to you. So how can we do that? First of all, we can pray. How do we get to know people that we're in relationship with? Our friends, our spouse, our children. We talk to them. We listen to them. We know their voice. We know what matters to them. How do we get to know God? We need to pray to him. We need to listen to him. We need to recognize how he speaks to us. We need to read the Bible. And we need to be willing to say, I am going to pursue your way of living, God. Yes, it's countercultural. Yes, it means we're going to stand out a little at times. But it's one of the first ways in which we pursue our relationship with God. And learn to put him first and therefore unpack the plans that he has for us. I think secondly, we need to surrender our will to God. Often, we will come to God with a big list of stuff that we want answers to. A bit like my kids at the minute talking about Christmas. They can come with their list of things that they would like for Christmas. They're probably not going to get everything. A bit of disappointment. But they come to us as their parents expecting that we can fulfill all of their hopes and dreams, you know? What about if we stopped coming to God and expecting Him to rubber stamp our desires and our plans? Are there things tonight that we are continually asking God for, and maybe He's already answered it, but we didn't like the answer that He gave us? Do we need to surrender again tonight to Him? Do we need to be willing to say, it's your will and not my will? Like Jesus did with His Father in that garden before He went to the cross. Thirdly, we can seek wise counsel. Proverbs has so many verses that speak of us finding advice from others. Proverbs 12:15 is one, fools think their own way is right, but the wise listen to others. Proverbs 15:22, plans go wrong for lack of advice. Many advisors bring success. Seek wise counsel. Talk to others. People who we trust, who we respect, people in leadership. God's purpose and guidance is not to get us to perform the right actions. I think His purpose is to help us to become the right kind of people that He wants us to be. He wants us to develop good judgment. But we can only do that when I think we surrender to Him, when we know His voice, and when we seek counsel of others when it's appropriate. Just as we finish, before I hand over to David and into communion, think about when you were growing up. All of us have been young children at one point in our lives. A parent's desire and a parent's aim is to raise children who are mature, who can be responsible, who are healthy, and who can make good decisions. I don't think there's any of us in this room who are raising kids would not say that that's what we want them to be. We want them to be followers of God, but we want them to be healthy and responsible and decisive. But we can only do that if, as parents, or when we were children, our parents let us make decisions. My six-year-old doesn't always make the decisions that I would like her to make when it comes to clothes that she wears or makeup that she chooses to put on. She's quite sassy. And she was the one on the stage this morning showing her belly as she did the actions. Yeah. Crop tops, she likes those kind of things. Much to my dismay. But I have to let her have space to make choices for herself. I have to let her be willing to make decisions sometimes that are actually not always going to end the way that I would like them to. Because I need her to realize that home is safe and that we're safe to run back to. God's made us that way. He doesn't come in and take over and stand over us, telling us every single turn that we should make. He wants us to be wise in the decisions that we make for ourselves. He gives us enough advice to live by, but He gives us enough slack on that rope to make mistakes so that we can run back to Him. So we can know that safety of who He is. God's a bringer of peace. So tonight, as we move into communion, do you first need to put that relationship with God right? Do you need to be willing to say to Him, I surrender to you? Maybe tonight you have some decisions to make, and actually you have not been seeking that wise counsel, or you've not been bringing that to God in the way that He needs you to. Take this space tonight to find that. Or maybe tonight, as we move into communion, you're someone who knows you've made some decisions that are actually sitting quite uncomfortably with you. You maybe feel tonight like you're too far, that God will not want you back. I just want to reassure you that God brings peace. He's not a God of confusion, but of peace, as it says in 1 Corinthians 14. Come back, run back to him tonight. Let him replace that confusion there might be with peace, with his peace. And let's be people that as we seek to make decisions, to know the path for our own lives, to be people who first and foremost want to pursue God for all that he is and live a life that is pleasing and wholly acceptable to him. Can we just pray as we move into him? Father God, I thank you that you promise to walk with us, beside us, before us, behind us. Father, you don't let us navigate on our own, but let us recognize that you've also created us as people to make decisions and choices for ourselves. Let us tonight, as we reflect on where we're at with you and our relationship with you, let us put that right as we come to your table. Father, let us be people who pursue holiness and pursue you in the way that we live our lives. In your name.